awesome.
Tao nodded his agreement, albeit reluctantly.
That female's freakishly strong for her size.
Oh, Trey already knew that from their battles last night. His lips curved into a smile as he imagined battling with her all over again tonight. Taryn was in a better mood after her short run. The cold breeze on her face, combined with a familiar sense of the forest, had left her feeling refreshed and settled her wolf. Only then had she begun to wander through the maze of tunnels to familiarize herself with what would be her home for the next few months. 3 hours later, Taryn was in the doorway of the living area, gaping. A wander around had confirmed that not one inch of the place was anything but spectacular. There were 4 floors, and each one of them featured dozens of ensuite bedrooms, a small kitchenette, and a laundry room. On the 4th floor, where Trey, Dante, and the Enforcer slept, there was, in addition to a laundry room, a pool room, a game room, an office, the huge, amazing kitchen, and a large living area. The blend of modern and antique furnishings was a feature throughout the entire place, never once clashing. She was nothing short of awed, and had found something to gasp at in each and every room. But this room? Whoa. The audio-visual system was state-of-the-art. The decorative, swirling carvings on the main wall were amazing, and the many armchairs all looked comfy enough to sleep on. But it was the item in the center of the living area that had her attention. Is it a bed? Is it a sofa? The freaking thing looked more like a giant cushion. There had been a sectional sofa in her pack house, too, but it wasn't anything like this. The black leather was clearly top quality, and it could comfortably seat at least 18 people. One end was a gorgeous chaise lounge, while the other end had a recliner. It was so big and bulky that not only did her ass sink into it, but her feet didn't even touch the floor. It totally dwarfed her. Suddenly, she felt like one of the borrowers. Oh, she could get used to this luxury. She wasn't a materialistic person, never had been, and she totally agreed that money didn't bring you happiness. Still, she'd rather be depressed wearing Prada than dirty rags.
Comfy?
Taryn looked at the doorway to see Tao there, scowling. If I didn't know any better, I'd think you resented me being comfortable. He shrugged.
I'm not convinced your dad will give us an alliance, which means we'll have brought all this trouble on ourselves and not even get what the pack needs out of this mating.
Maybe you should have thought of that before you kidnapped me, huh?
Believe me. If I could have talked Trey out of this, I would have. But I respect Trey, and I follow his orders.
That's nice. You can leave now. I promise your idiotic opinion will be noted. A muscle ticked in his jaw, something that seemed to be a habit with him whenever she was around.
There's nothing idiotic about not wanting Lance Warner's daughter in my house or around my pack. They say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, don't they?
Hey, I have a suggestion. Why not put a condom over your head? If you're going to act like a complete dick, then it makes sense to dress like one. His mouth actually twitched at that, but Taryn just sighed and retrieved the remote control from the round pine coffee table. Switching on the TV, she sought out the sports channels. Tao came to stand beside the sofa.
You watch boxing?
I missed the fight between Jacobs and Leighton last night. I just want to watch the repeat. Then you can watch whatever you like. Frowning, Tao gingerly sat beside her.
50 says Leighton won.
Taryn stared at him curiously, then nodded. 70 says Jacobs won by knockout. Well, this was a surprise. On leaving his office, Trey had followed the trail of Taryn's delicious scent to track her down. Considering how Tao had been treating her up until this point, the last thing Trey would have expected was to find the pair of them laughing and joking while watching boxing on TV. Her response to Selma would have shown the pack that she wasn't an easy target or someone who took any shit, but he hadn't thought it would be enough to win anyone's respect just yet. Clearly, he had been wrong. He should have been glad about that. It was a good thing for her to have Tao as an ally. Strangely, though, Trey found himself wanting to punch his head enforcer for putting that smile on her face. His wolf, well, he wanted to gut Tao.
ready to go?
She looked up at him, frowning at the strain in his voice. Sure. Her frown deepened when, instead of walking on ahead of her with Dominic and Ryan, he waited for her to reach his side. She noticed that Dante was smiling, the kind of smile that said he knew something she didn't. Well, whatever. Trey remained at her side all the way to the car and even sat with her in the back seat, which, for some reason, had Dante's smile widening. Her wolf enjoyed having her mate so close, enjoyed having his scent cocooning her. Unfortunately, just as Taryn had feared, it was proving to be uncomfortable for her wolf when they parted for too long. She wouldn't have thought that 5 hours counted as long, but her wolf had been restless and on edge until the moment he entered the living area. His presence automatically made her feel safe, reassured, and relaxed.
Has your father been in touch with you yet? Trey asked her.
No, he'll be too busy sulking.
You know there's a chance he'll turn up tomorrow with Roscoe, don't you?
She sighed. Yeah, I know. She doubted he would, but there was still a chance.
And you know what will happen if he tries to take you, don't you?
She wondered if he even realized that the hand of the arm he'd hooked around her headrest was now playing with her hair. Even if he comes, it'll only be Roscoe who will challenge you.
I hope you're right. I want that alliance with your father, but there's no chance I'll be able to hold back my wolf if he tries to take you.
The heavy dose of possessiveness in his voice had her lips twitching. What made it more amusing was that she could see how much the unfamiliar sense of possessiveness irritated him.
I did try to warn you that it wouldn't matter to your wolf that we aren't true mates.
He shot her a glare.
Smartass.
Aw, I love you too.
He snorted and faced forward again, resisting the urge to nibble on her bottom lip, and the urge to kiss her, and the urge to lick over his mark. His wolf, on the other hand, liked all three of those ideas and was growling his encouragement at Trey. His wolf had missed her. He brooded and fretted when he wasn't around her, pushing at Trey to go hunt her down. Whenever he was around her, his wolf wanted to lick every inch of her and roll around in her scent. It was dumb and it was pathetic and it made Trey want to kick his wolf's ass. Eventually, they arrived at a restaurant in the next territory that Taryn knew belonged to the Mediator's wolf pack. She also knew they wouldn't be having the meeting inside the restaurant, but within the wooded area behind it, a place where many shifters had come to blows in the past when mediation meetings hadn't gone so well. Hopefully, this wouldn't be one of those times. Seeing the tension in Trey's shoulders, as he opened her car door and the way he very reluctantly stepped aside, she smiled.
Your wolf doesn't want me to go, does he?
He doesn't want me being around the naughty wolf. The poor guy was in totally unfamiliar territory with all his protectiveness and possessiveness. He narrowed his eyes at her.
I'm glad you find this amusing.
Knowing what would ease his wolf, she did what she hadn't yet seen anyone do. She invaded Trey's personal space, sliding her arms around his waist. She had been up in his personal space plenty of times while he fucked her senseless, but sexual touching and social touching were two very different things. Two very different needs. And it seemed like Trey had conditioned himself to ignore the latter. He stiffened for a few seconds, and then his arms went around her, surprising her. Little by little, the tension in him eased as he allowed his wolf to take solace in her closeness and her scent.
Ready? Let's get this over with, he grumbled.
In keeping with their true mate act, he took her small hand in his and kept her close as they followed the narrow, pebbly path that ran through the wooded area. Although he had been assured that there would be enough security to guarantee that his uncle couldn't make an abrupt attack, Trey still listened intently as they walked. His hearing picked up nothing other than the scurrying of small forest animals, the even breathing of each member of his pack, and the crunch of fallen dead leaves and sticks beneath their feet. The path stopped at a clearing, and there, at a long wooden table, sat his uncle. Three males from Daryl's pack, and a tall, dark guy who he guessed was the mediator. Standing on either side of the table were 6 tall, bulky males who were clearly members of the security team. His wolf tensed and growled at Daryl's scent, offended by it. The memories of the day Trey attacked his father slapped him hard. He could remember Rick's sneers, snarls, and the harsh words that had inevitably robbed Trey of all control. Even now, he couldn't regret what he'd done, and he doubted that he ever would. Forcing away the dark feelings attempting to swamp him, he tightened his hold on Taryn's hand as they strolled over to the table. Everyone stood as they reached it, and Trey watched as Daryl's eyes zoomed in on Taryn and the marks covering her.
"Let's all sit, shall we?"
suggested the mediator as he took the head seat. Trey sat with Taryn and Dante on either side of him while Tao, Ryan, and Dominic stood behind them. The evil uncle was not at all what Taryn had been expecting. It was hard to believe he was actually related to Trey. There was no resemblance there at all except for the strong nose. Daryl's squinty eyes, lazy posture, and perfectly parted dark hair, and sly smile all gave off the impression of a smarmy, cunning bastard. She couldn't help feeling satisfied that her presence had thrown him.
"Afternoon, everyone," said the mediator, rubbing his prominent jaw. "My name is Dean Milton, and I've been appointed by the council to act as mediator in this dispute. My role is to guide this discussion and aid you in exploring your issues in the hope that an agreement can be reached. Note that both parties are free to leave at any point and that a decision will not be made in your absence. Before we go any further, could each party please introduce themselves, starting with the applicant?"
"Daryl Coleman, Alpha of the Bjorn Pack," the smarmy ass drawled with a self-satisfied smirk.
"On my right is my Beta, and on my left is my head enforcer. At my back are some of my enforcers."
Dean nodded, then looked at Trey.
"Now, if the respondent could also introduce himself and the wolves with him."
"Trey Coleman, Alpha of the Phoenix Pack. Behind me you'll see my head enforcer and two of my enforcers. On my left is my Beta, and on my right..."
He stroked a hand through her hair.
"Is my mate, Taryn."
He knew the smile he shot his uncle wasn't a pleasant one.
"Thank you," said Dean. "Now, I'll ask you both, beginning with the applicant, to outline the issue as you see it. I ask you not to interrupt each other."
Daryl straightened in his seat.
"It's been a long time, Trey. You look well. Can I ask how the rest of the pack are doing?"
"You can, but I won't answer."
"I see you've mated. A beautiful female."
"We're not here to exchange pleasantries, so cut the shit."
After a sigh, Daryl fixed a concerned look on his face.
"It is regrettable that our pack divided the way it did. It never sat well with any of us. I, in particular, worried for your safety and that of those who left with you."
Trey heard a snort behind him and thought it might have been Dominic. He was tempted to snort himself.
"A great many of us have carried that guilt. But you know your father. I do not wish to speak ill of the dead, but it is a fact that my brother was too damn stubborn for his own good. He refused to lift the banishment, no matter how hard we appealed to him. As unfortunate as his passing is, it has also given us an opportunity to introduce changes and progressions. And we wish to welcome you back into the pack. With me as Alpha, of course."
Dean arched a brow at Trey.
"As the respondent, what is your stance?"
He began massaging Taryn's nape, drawing strength from her closeness to keep his wolf calm.
"You always did talk shit, Daryl. I prefer bare facts. Shall I share some with you? A bare fact is that you were right at my father's side when he banished me, encouraging his decision. Another is that if you had really wanted to overrule the banishment, you could have, as Beta, applied to the council. A third is that you couldn't care if I live or die. Your motivation to unite the pack is not regret or concern. So what the fuck is it?"
Taryn noted that the mediator didn't look in the least bit surprised that Trey wasn't interested in a civil discussion. He could probably see through Daryl's act just as easily as they could.
"I don't blame you for this anger, Trey," said Daryl. "But why not let it go and unite the packs once again?
Why not just tell me what this is really all about? Is it my territory that you want? Is it to enlarge the pack? Is it just to be a pain in my ass?
Where the idea came from, she wasn't sure, but an idea suddenly occurred to Taryn. Maybe he has a perverse wish to see you bow down to him. All eyes darted to her, and then to Daryl. Dante pursed his lips.
Maybe it's all four. You can't tell me that neither you nor your wolf has missed your homeland, said Daryl. Surely you've dreamed of coming home many times.
Trey blew out a breath and shook his head.
Did I ever wish to return to a place where people who were supposed to care for me had been so eager to sling me out? No. No, I didn't at all. The whole prodigal son thing isn't for me.
So you have no inclination to unite your pack with Daryl's? Asked Dean.
None whatsoever, replied Trey.
Daryl's expression turned dark and bitter.
Don't make this become a battle. It's not one you can win.
Did I introduce my mate properly? I don't think I did I?
Taryn, meet Daryl Coleman.
Uncle, meet Taryn Warner.
He grinned inwardly at the flicker of unease that crossed Daryl's face.
Taryn Warner, repeated Dean, smiling at her. You once healed a friend of mine, Lennox Geller. His nose had been broken. You were also the person who broke it.
She shrugged.
He deserved it.
Oh, and he really had.
If your reputation's anything to go by, that wasn't your first broken nose.
At her unrepentant shrug, he asked, amused,
You don't think that perhaps you have anger management issues?
Punching people is managing my anger. Strangely, not liking the playful banter going on between his mate and the mediator, Trey tangled a hand in her hair. A shifter gesture of ownership.
Are you going to do the wise thing and drop this?
He asked Daryl.
The wise thing would be for you to sign an agreement that says our packs are now one and I rule as Alpha.
Taryn couldn't stop the snort from popping out.
And who in La La Land told you that would ever happen? Probably the same person who told you that you're a good liar.
He sputtered.
Excuse me?
Oh, come on. You talk so much shit, I can smell it on your breath.
I take it this means no agreement can be reached, Dean said quickly, obviously wanting to stop the conversation from becoming any more argumentative than it already was. Daryl, do you wish to pursue this further, or are you willing to withdraw your application? I'm not backing down.
Trey leaned forward in his seat.
Then I accept your challenge.
Dean sighed.
You know the drill. 12 weeks. 12 weeks must pass before either of you can act on that challenge. Hopefully you can both come to an amicable agreement within that time.
How many times does that actually happen? She asked Dean, curious.
More often than you might think. About 45% of the time, disputes are nothing but impulsive challenges that neither side particularly cares to follow through with once their tempers have eased. Without that 12-week cooling-off period, there would be many pointless battles and many pointless deaths. So maybe it wasn't such a bad idea to placate the humans by forming a council.
Daryl snarled.
Unless within that time my nephew agrees to unite the pack, my challenge will be followed through. Those wolves are mine. And I'll very much enjoy taking those caves of yours. Maybe I'll even take your mate as mine.
Trey's menacing growl had everyone jerking. Feeling him tense as if to spring, she squeezed his hand hard enough to cause pain. A sharp pain that would cut through the anger fogging his thoughts. She curled her upper lip at Daryl.
Call me shallow, but I do prefer good-looking guys. And you?
Well, it seems like the best part of you dried up on your mom's thigh.
She probably shouldn't have found it so amusing that he didn't seem to be breathing, but, well, it was a bitch thing.
Dean quickly said, Meeting over. Trey, I'm going to ask you and your wolves to leave first.
What do you mean first?
Griped Daryl.
In the interest of preventing confrontations from occurring, the protocol is to keep 10 minutes between the time that each party leaves.
Eager to be away from Daryl before his wolf surfaced, Trey stood upright, pulling Taryn to her feet.
Let's go, baby.
Surprising him, she leaned against his arm, offering him support that he hadn't known he needed.
I'll be seeing you soon, Daryl, he growled, his eyes flashing wolf.
The temptation to tear off his limbs and rip out his throat for trying to lay claim to what was his was riding Trey hard. Satisfied by Daryl's nervous expression, he nodded and stalked back to the Toyota. Once back in pack territory, Trey closed himself in his office, needing that privacy to fight off the memories haunting him and the gray cloud that seemed to be hanging over him. Yeah, he was a brooder. It wasn't the memory of his dad, severely wounded, that haunted him, nor was it the memory of how many had suddenly turned against him, just like that. It was a memory of something far worse, something that he shouldn't be able to shove to the back of his mind so it would only haunt him from time to time. But he wasn't a person who felt the way everybody else did. He knew instincts, he knew urges, he knew logic, but feelings? Not so much. It wasn't that he was cold, just that he'd closed himself off a long time ago in what he now knew was a defense mechanism. It was most likely a bad thing, and strongly linked to his underdeveloped conscience. But it was also one of the things that had made it possible for him to take on the responsibilities of Alpha at 14 and get his pack through that difficult time of the banishment. As usual, Dante never left him to brood in peace for long. A knock on the office door half an hour later was followed immediately by Dante's entrance. He was the only wolf who didn't wait for permission to enter, and he was the only one who could get away with it.
Are you done?
Is Greta back yet?
Not back about 10 minutes ago. She's in the kitchen packing away boxes of some weird herbal tea. I think you might want to know that on my way here I saw Taryn going to refill her coffee mug.
Trey groaned.
Shit. Tell me they're not alone.
Who do you think will start cursing first?
Sighing, Trey strolled out of his office, en route to the kitchen to rescue his mate from his rather antisocial, borderline psychotic, grandmother.
I don't like you.
Taryn almost laughed at the growling old woman sitting at the table. The second Taryn had entered the kitchen, Greta had begun hovering around as Taryn refilled her mug and then perched herself on the counter, dipping mini cookies in her coffee. Going by how nosy Greta appeared to be, Taryn had been expecting her to ply her with dozens of personal questions. Instead, she had sat in total silence as she watched Taryn's every move, scowling the entire time. Rather than being irritated, Taryn found herself amused. Greta reminded her of her own bitter grandmother. She also reminded her of Norman Bates's mother in Psycho. Now, that's not a very nice welcome for your grandson's mate.
You might have gotten one if you'd been his true mate, she snapped,
flicking her short, fuzzy, graying hair away from her face.
But you're not.
No, I'm not.
And I don't like or trust you one little bit.
Taryn gave a slight shrug. I guess it's a good thing that I don't give a shit. A dramatic gasp of outrage escaped from Greta.
How dare you speak to me like that? You will watch your language in my presence.
Yes, ma'am.
This mating for a deal wouldn't have happened in my day. I told him he didn't need a mate to build alliances. Daryl won't go through with this challenge. But did Trey listen to me? No. And now, look what we've ended up with. A tiny little fart with a tarty tongue. All his life I warned him about power-hungry females, but has he listened to me? No. He's not only gone and brought one home, but he's mated with her. Well, you just remember that you won't be here for long, and don't expect me to treat you as alpha female. You're nothing as far as I'm concerned, just some Klingon slut who wants a position she never would have had if she hadn't made a deal with my grandson.
Taryn cocked her head at the old woman. So, the dead do contact us. Greta growled and pointed at her.
I've seen your sort before.
Really?
Common. Disrespectful. A hussy.
How did you know I was a hussy?
It was a strain not to laugh as the woman became more and more irritated by Taryn's lack of reaction to her taunts. Greta had nothing on her own grandmother.
And, as if that's not bad enough, you're blonde. That's all we need, isn't it? A bimbo.
I really hope I don't sound condescending. That means talking down to someone. But, you know, you really shouldn't believe everything you think. Another growl.
My grandson doesn't need a hussy.
Well, he must want one.
He'll want you out of here as soon as he sees what you're really like. He'll sling you out. Yeah, and he won't be gentle about it.
Oh, I do love a rough touch, said Taryn dreamily.
Think you're funny, do you? Think you're smart?
You want to know what I think? Okay. I think you've been behaving as mistress of the place because you're Trey's grandmother. You look at me and you see a threat to your lovely little world and you don't like it. Well, I'll tell you something, Greta. If you think I'll be scared away by a sour crone who's so old she dreams in black and white, then you're in for a massive disappointment. I made a deal with Trey, and I'll be here until I've lived up to my half of it. In the meantime, feel free to keep up the insults and the intimidation techniques. All I ask is that if at any point it seems like I care, please tell me, because I really don't want you getting the wrong impression. Greta, her face purple, slapped her hand down hard on the table.
That's it! Out! I want you out! Now!
When Taryn just stared at her, Greta growled,
I want you out!
Taryn held up her index finger. Just give me a second. Attempting to give a fuck. Attempting harder to give a fuck. Sorry, there was an error. Fuck not given. Both women looked up as Trey and Dante walked in and skidded to a halt. Taryn found her mouth curving at their nervous looks. Obviously, they had guessed Greta would be like this. Taryn's wolf settled a little as she picked up her mate's scent.
Oh, Trey, you didn't tell me your grandmother was such a kind, delightful soul.
Trey was surprised by Taryn's smile. Clearly, she was holding up just fine against Greta.
You really want this trollop as a mate?
Watch it, Greta, Trey cautioned in a low voice.
I don't have to be polite to her. She's nothing but a hussy.
You sure like to repeat yourself, don't you, woman? Taryn said with an air of boredom.
I want her gone!
He folded his arms across his chest, trying hard to prevent a grin from surfacing. If Greta was looking so flustered and annoyed, then she was obviously losing at the confrontation she had undoubtedly begun for no other reason than she didn't like females around him.
That won't be happening.
I refuse to accept her as part of my pack!
Why is that exactly?
You should hear the way she's been talking to me. Disrespectful is an understatement. Worse, she's a hussy. She wouldn't be faithful to you. She'll be all over your enforcer, spreading herself around them like butter on toast.
It really is disconcerting just how well you've read me, Greta, said Taryn. With a growl that had all eyes widening, Greta stood.
I said I want her gone.
She focused on Taryn then.
I want you gone!
Taryn gave her a mock frown. Now, really, Greta, anger is such an ugly thing.
It's Ms. Tyler to you, hussy.
Sure thing, Greta. Turning to Trey, she ranted.
Have you heard the way she talks to me? She has no respect! She's rude! She's...
Staying exactly where she is. Finished Trey firmly, hearing his wolf growl his agreement.
Trey wasn't a grandson talking to his grandmother now. He was the alpha talking to a pack member.
But she's not your true mate, and she's not good enough for you!
I'm aware that she's not my true mate. It has nothing to do with why she's here.
She's not good enough for you!
He had a moment when he considered pulling his hair out.
You don't even know her. So how could you know anything about her or whether or not she's good enough for me?
Is it true that she's latent? You picked a latent for an alpha female?
Trey was ready to snap at Greta for making such a comment when alpha waves suddenly reached out and hit them all with the force of a sledgehammer. The vibes clotted the air, smothering him while at the same time invigorating him. He turned to Taryn to see her glaring at Greta, and realized she was letting his grandmother see exactly how powerful an alpha her wolf was. Obviously, she'd had enough of being insulted. He couldn't blame her. Unfortunately for him, and probably for Dante too, her dominant display went straight to his cock, hardening it painfully.
Taryn, he said softly.
She looked at him, smiling, and suddenly the waves eased.
You okay?
Nodding, Taryn slid from the counter and did a very feline stretch.
I think I should leave the room, though. I can feel those hussy urges coming on me already. Probably best if I go before I leap on you or Dante.
Trey looked at his gaping grandmother, who obviously had not expected such a demonstration of power from little Taryn.
I don't want to have to go through this again, he said in a grave tone, knowing how tenacious Greta could be. She's my mate. Accept it. And if you want her to treat you with respect, then remember it works both ways.
Taryn sighed.
No, she's right. My behavior has been truly unacceptable. Accept my apologies, Ms. Tyler. I know I really should have more respect for the dead.
With a grin and a wink, she strutted out of the kitchen, followed closely by Trey and Dante. Her grin widened as she heard an outraged gasp burst out of the old woman.
Hey, you did good, praised Dante, chuckling. Didn't cry or anything. Something tells me I'll have to put up with that every... Hey!
She gaped at Trey as he snatched the mug from her hand and gave it to Dante. What the hell are you doing?
Baby, you got me hard as a rock after that display of dominance in there. If I'm not inside you in the next 5 minutes, I'll lose it.
Oh, hell no.
Locking his arms around her, Trey carried her through the tunnels, ignoring her kicks and the string of profanities she hurled at him. Once in the bedroom, he dumped her on the bed.
Now I'm going to fuck you and make you come so hard you can't breathe. Deal with it.
Chapter 6. Dreams didn't get much better than this. On one level, Taryn couldn't help finding it a little depressing that her best sexual encounters tended to happen during her sleep. But the pleasure spiking through her body left no room for such thoughts. A thick, talented finger was stroking in and out of her while sharp teeth nibbled on the back of her shoulder. The thrusts were shallow, leisurely, teasing. She squirmed and tried impaling herself farther, but the finger withdrew, a warning. She moaned her frustration. A low, wicked chuckle was her response, and then two fingers plunged inside her, and her next moan was of sheer bliss. Ordinarily, Taryn wasn't a huge fan of finger-fucking, but these fingers were extremely clever, hitting all the right nerves with unerring accuracy, as if they knew just how to play her body. If they would only pick up speed. Oh, and then they did. The teeth stopped grazing her shoulder as that hot mouth drifted to her ear and a tongue swirled inside the shell.
Come for me, Taryn. The whisper was hoarse and filled with authority. I want to feel you come all over my fingers.
That was when she woke up and became very aware that she hadn't been dreaming at all. Instantly, she stiffened. But, obviously knowing she'd fight him, Trey slipped an arm beneath her and locked it tight around her, pinning her arms against her body.
You tricky fucking bastard!
She rasped, struggling against his grip and the sensations. But his grip only tightened as he kept her right where he wanted her and pumped his fingers hard and deep, demanding her orgasm.
Come now.
He bit down hard on the back of her shoulder. Her traitorous body gave him what he wanted. An orgasm washed over her, and her muscles clutched his fingers as she came with a loud cry. Then in one decisive movement, he raised her leg, tucked it into the crook of his elbow, and drove into her. Oh, she hated him. Trey groaned as her muscles contracted around his cock.
Fuck, Taryn.
She melted against him for a second, and then went back to struggling. Well, of course she did. In this particular battle for dominance, he had basically cheated by seducing her in her sleep. But she just felt so damn good around him that he couldn't bring himself to care. He thought it odd that his appetite for her body hadn't begun to dull yet. He only had to smell her scent or hear her voice to become immediately hard. Unlike Trick and Dominic, Trey wasn't the type to have so little control over his libido or his body. But where Taryn was concerned, it was a whole different matter. He couldn't even blame it on the mating. This primitive hunger had hit him the second he saw her, and it didn't seem to be going anywhere.
That's it, baby, fight it,
he urged. The little wildcat did, even though his cock was pistoning away in her pussy, even though her groans told him that she loved it. She still thrashed and fought to be free, fought his dominance. If he hadn't been as strong as he was, she'd have twisted out of his hold by now, and most likely have snapped his neck. Those flailing hands were clawing at whatever skin they could reach. It was a real good thing her arms were trapped.
Cock-sucking son of a goddamn dick-faced bitch!
You're the bitch, baby. My little bitch. And I'll fuck my little bitch whenever I want.
He knew she was fighting her orgasm, but he also knew by the way her inner muscles were fluttering around his cock that she wouldn't last much longer. Surprising him, she turned her head and snapped her teeth, grazing his face ever so slightly. Growling, he locked his teeth onto her nape and pounded harder. Seconds later, she screamed and her pussy spasmed around him, triggering his own orgasm.
Fuck.
When she finally stopped panting, Taryn gave him a sideways glance as she muttered,
Bastard.
He laughed before bringing the fingers he had fucked her with to his mouth. He hummed appreciatively as he sucked them clean.
I could become addicted to your taste.
He wasn't lying. Her taste was just like her, spicy and seductive.
Let me guess,
drawled Taryn with a snort.
You think it's best if you get a regular dose so the addiction stays under control.
Again, he was laughing. This female had a wit and an attitude that he could appreciate. He reluctantly withdrew from her body and then, unable to resist, he lightly slapped that pretty little ass before jumping out of bed. It wasn't until he was in the bathroom that Taryn finally forced herself into an upright position. She shook her head in sheer disbelief at how someone could be so energetic first thing in the morning. Eventually, she not so gracefully rose from the bed and stretched her arms above her head. She would bet she looked very much like a contented cat. Well, an orgasm was always a good way to start the day. At that very moment, the sound of a cell phone ringing met her ears.
Trey! Phone!
In seconds, he was out of the shower and answering the call. As she saw his eyes flash wolf and his body stiffen, she cursed. She knew exactly what that meant. There went her hope of Roscoe just letting the issue go, or, in the event that that failed, him simply leaping to his death. Instantly, questions began swirling around her mind. What if he'd brought hordes of wolves with him? What if Trey got hurt? What if the others got hurt? She couldn't exactly heal any of them if Roscoe spirited her away. And wouldn't that be a fate worse than death?
That was Ryan. Roscoe's here. He's not going to take you, he assured her,
sensing her anxiety through the pack link as they both frantically began to dress. Within 30 seconds, they were at the main entrance to the caves, where many of the pack were already waiting.
Did Ryan tell you he's brought quite a few wolves with him?
Asked Dante, in the same tone that someone might ask what time it was.
Men.
Trey turned to her.
I want you to wait here and—
Oh, hell no! This mess is mine, and you expect me to sit here twiddling my thumbs, relishing the feeling of my own safety?
You're staying.
She smiled.
I believe you were warned before you even mated me not to bark at me unless you're happy to be ignored.
Taryn, he drawled in an impatient tone. I am your mate.
And I'm stubborn.
If you want absolute obedience, get a Labrador. I'm not quite the delicate flower people tend to take me for. Now let's go. Right then, Trey wanted nothing more than to spank her ass. He didn't want her anywhere near that male who coveted her. Both he and his wolf wanted to know that she was safe. But Trey knew by the look on her face that she would simply ignore him and follow him outside, no matter what he said.
You don't get to interfere, understand? There will probably be a wolf-against-wolf battle. You stay out of it.
He knew that once he was in wolf form and engaged in battle, there was a good chance that he would go feral. Taryn was honestly starting to feel sorry for him. He obviously thought he had some sort of authority over her, and she believed it would be a while before it became apparent to him that the female he had taken as his mate did her own thing. Again, I feel I must remind you that I don't do well with orders, but I have no wish to interfere, so the point is moot. Resisting the urge to shake her, he huffed and turned away, only to find that some of the others were watching the exchange with amusement. He didn't blame them. Here was this dainty little female giving him shit, and even managing to get her own way. Greta growled.
You just had to bring her here, didn't you? Trey, you don't need her. There's no way Daryl will go through with this challenge. Just hand her over and be done with it.
Can't we hand her over instead? Asked Taryn. Was it wrong that she was seriously considering it?
The hussy's not worth fighting over. If he wants her, let him have her.
She's mine. No one takes her. Trey nodded at the males around him. Let's go. Taryn, stay at the rear.
No.
What was that?
To the outside world, I'm alpha female here, Trey. She reminded him as she slipped on a light denim jacket that matched her jeans. The alpha pair always presents a united front when there's a confrontation. I'm not saying that if he challenges you, I won't step back, but I won't be shoved to the rear. The steel in her voice aroused his wolf just as much as it pissed him off. Trey was feeling pretty much the same.
Taryn, you can't expect me or my wolf to be okay with you being in such easy reach of Roscoe, of being in that kind of danger.
Smiling sweetly, she cupped his chin.
I won't be in danger. You'll protect me.
Despite everything that was going on right now, he actually wanted to smile at her impishness. The other males were ducking their heads to hide their grins.
Fine. We present a united front, but only because the mating wouldn't look real if we didn't.
He thought that was a pretty good way to save face, but one or two of the males snorted.
Now let's go.
As one, with Trey and Taryn side by side, they all made their way out of the caves and headed toward the gate. Taryn marveled at how all the males could walk at such a leisurely pace, yet look extremely menacing at the same time. Each of them suddenly seemed 2 inches taller than he truly was, and had the most sinister look. Even Marcus's usual grin had been replaced by a hostile scowl. Trey? Well, that was another matter altogether. Scrap hostile and sinister, the guy looked like he needed a rabies shot. He was a walking promise of death, and her wolf totally approved. Yet another indication that she was dumb. Nearing the gate, they caught sight of several vehicles parked by the security shack. A large number of shifters stood tall beside them. A normally composed Roscoe was scowling with rage, flexing his fists at his sides.
Oh, good lord, she said, snorting at the sheer ridiculousness of the number of wolves he had brought with him.
40 against 7? Yeah, very brave. It was a clear attempt at intimidation, but Taryn knew it hadn't had the desired effect. Why Roscoe had thought that Trey, someone who was practically the personification of intimidation, would be rattled was anyone's guess. When Trey came to a halt 12 feet away from the intruders, Ryan came to join the wall the Phoenix Wolves had made. Roscoe's gaze settled on her and anger flashed across his face, most likely in response to Trey's marks.
Never had you down as someone who played games, Taryn. As you can see, game's over. Get in the SUV while I have a talk with Coleman.
Taryn almost laughed.
You sound as though you honestly believe I will. Come now and we can avoid all this.
I'd rather lie under an elephant suffering from diarrhea with my mouth open wide.
You know what will happen if you persist with this. People are going to get hurt, namely Coleman. Do you really want that on your conscience?
Oh, no, you don't get to turn this on me. If anyone gets hurt today, it's because you refuse to let go of something that was never yours to begin with. She would bet money that if she had been within reach, Roscoe would have slapped her for that.
Don't be looking at Taryn. Look at me.
Trey's tone demanded attention.
I'm the one you should be worried about.
You must have a death wish, Coleman, said Roscoe.
It's the only reason I can think of that would explain why you would kidnap my mate.
Kidnap your mate? Repeated Trey with a smile. I think you'll find that Taryn's mine.
She wears my mark.
Not a mark, a wound. One that I very nicely covered with a mark of my own.
She's mine, snarled Roscoe.
Growls of disagreement rumbled out of the throats of the seven males around her. Taryn couldn't help but notice that, by contrast, although Roscoe had a large crew, they didn't appear to be standing with him. There was no one flanking him or eyeing up the rest of Trey's pack, picking an opponent he wanted if it turned into an out-and-out fight. They were simply there.
Here's how it is, Roscoe. Taryn is my mate. I've claimed her, and I will kill anyone who tries to take her from me. If you can accept that, you can live, and you can leave here peacefully. If you can't, well, you must want to die.
Then it looks like we battle it out.
Taryn gaped. You have got to be kidding me. Why would you bother? You can't tell me you're that obsessed with the idea of breaking my spirit until I'm some kind of slave.
That's what he had planned.
Trey's wolf leaped for control, wanting to gut Roscoe. Roscoe shrugged.
What male wouldn't want to be able to turn a dominant female like Taryn into a gorgeously submissive slave?
Well, they would be the sane males, said Taryn.
Stand back, baby, ordered Trey as he removed his t-shirt and then tackled the fly of his jeans. You heard him. He wants to battle it out.
She might have tried to calm the atmosphere if she hadn't known from experience that when two dominant male wolves agreed to battle, it meant the situation was past help. She had the strange urge to kiss Trey, but knew he didn't need to look weak right now.
To the death, Trey said to Roscoe in a calm but icy tone. We battle to the death.
Having heard what Roscoe intended for Taryn, Trey's wolf wasn't going to be happy until he'd torn out his throat. There was no way Trey would stop him from going feral. Roscoe, now naked, nodded.
To the death.
Suddenly, bones were popping, and his body was altering, and then, mere seconds later, he was a large, sandy, snarling wolf. But Trey was larger. Taryn soon found out as she watched him shift into a 7-foot-long and approximately 32-inch-high, gorgeous, silvery gray wolf. He looked just as intimidating and overawing in wolf form, with his powerful build, his heavily muscled neck, and his robust limbs. His hackles were raised, his angry eyes were drilling into Roscoe, his ears were upright, and his lips were curled back, exposing fangs and gums. The growl emitting from him sounded more like a boat motor. Abruptly, the sandy wolf sprang from his crouched position and rushed forward at the gray wolf, coming up short, just to snap his teeth together. The gray wolf didn't move a muscle, just stood looking large and fearsome, making a clear point that he was the more dominant animal in this situation. The sandy wolf reversed slowly, only to rush forward, aggressively, and snap at the other once again. Apparently the gray wolf had decided that the other had had his chance to back down, and he wasn't going to stand still any longer. Growling, he began circling the sandy wolf, who then copied the move so that they were circling each other. Maybe because he was stupid, or maybe because he was just suicidal, the sandy wolf growled at Taryn. That was when her mate went feral.
The gray wolf lunged at the other wolf, and they came together in a clash of claws and teeth. As shifters had superior speed and strength, it was like watching a recording in fast-forward motion. There was growling, there was body slamming, there was scratching, there was biting, and there were side swipes as each wolf fought to pin the other to the ground. Taryn winced when the gray wolf bit down hard on the other's hind leg, making him yelp loudly. The yelping faded to whimpering until the gray wolf yanked hard with his powerful jaws, snapping the sandy wolf's leg. Damn, that had to hurt. When the injured wolf tried scooping himself off the ground, the other wolf slammed into him and knocked him onto his back. Then, in a typical wolf shifter killing move, the gray wolf slashed open his opponent's midsection with his claws and simultaneously closed his jaws around his throat. With one sharp yank, he'd torn out his challenger's throat. As much as it seemed like forever before it was over, it couldn't have taken more than a minute for the feral wolf to overpower the sandy wolf. Overpower was a mild word. Hell, the gray wolf had the other's lifeless body by the throat, shaking it like a rag doll while growling loudly. Several more minutes went by, and the gray wolf continued to attack the carcass, showing no signs of tiring or calming or any willingness to part with it. It was clear that he wasn't coming out of his feral state any time soon.
"One of us is going to have to do something," said Taryn.
Dante shrugged.
"When he gets like this, you just have to leave him to tire himself out."
Trick nodded.
"At least he hasn't charged any of us this time."
"But he's injured. I need to heal him, and I can't while he's in wolf form."
She was going to regret this. She knew she was.
"Let me see if I can calm him down."
"Whoa, now hang on a minute,"
began Dante, palms out to ward her off.
"Taryn, you can see the state he's in, right? That's not Trey. He's buried way down deep, very much aware of what's going on, but with no way of taking control for as long as his wolf is feral. If you go near him, he'll see you as a threat and he'll attack you, just as he would anyone else."
She rolled her eyes, implying he was being dramatic. In actuality, he was dead on.
"He won't hurt me. I know it's not Trey. I know his wolf is in control, but his wolf considers me his mate, just as Trey does."
"She's got a point," said Trick, sighing. "She's the person he's least likely to hurt. He usually shows signs of calming by now."
"His mate was threatened. That's why he's like this," Marcus gestured at him, as anxious and fidgety as the others.
Whenever an alpha was unstable, it leaked out into the pack link.
"I can't just stand here."
When Dante again blocked her path, she growled,
"Move out of my way."
"Taryn, come on, I'm beta. He'll kill me if something happens to you."
"And I'm temporarily alpha female, which means I outrank you. But even if I wasn't alpha, I'd still expect you to move the hell out of my way, so do it."
"What if he hurts you?"
"It'll distress him to know he's harmed his mate. Have you thought about that?"
She huffed impatiently.
"He won't hurt me."
"You sure about that?"
"Of course not."
"Yes, I'm sure. Now move."
Finally, he did, signaling for the others to give her some space, but without going too far. Very slowly, she took a few steps toward the wolf. She knew there was no point in calling Trey's name and appealing for him to come back. The wolf wouldn't respond to the name, wouldn't understand the words. The only way that Trey could overcome his wolf was if his wolf came down from his feral state. And that wasn't going to happen until she got him away from that carcass. The smell of the blood would only be making him worse. As she couldn't exactly go over there and snatch away his prize, she decided her best bet might be to distract him from it. As an idea formed in her mind, she removed her denim jacket and balled it up. Hoping like hell this worked and didn't just act like a red flag to a bull, she gently threw the jacket so that it landed to the side of the carcass. Instantly, the feral wolf dived on the jacket, as though it was a rabbit or a hare. Picking it up with his jaws, he shook it just like he had the carcass. And then he seemed to pause, and his growling eased a little, as if he recognized the scent on the jacket. Hopefully, he recognized it as the scent of his mate and not another threat.
"Hey, Cujo,"
she called in a soothing voice. His head whipped around to face her, and he snarled, while at the same time standing over the carcass and flattening his ears outward, warning her away from his prize. There was no logic or rationality in those eyes.
"Now, that's not very nice," she said in the same gentling tone.
She knew he wouldn't understand her, that the words would be indistinguishable, but her hope was that he might recognize her voice and find it calming. His head extended toward her, and his nostrils flared, scenting the air. He let loose a low whine, and she had the feeling that he acknowledged who she was but wasn't sure how to calm himself. Feeling reassured by him recognizing her, she moved another step toward him, but then halted. She wanted him to come to her, so that he was away from the dead wolf. Easier said than done, of course.
"Come on, big guy. You don't want to play with that nasty carcass. If you can hear what's going on, Trey, then let me just tell you that you'll be buying me a new jacket. This one's now covered in foam, fur, and blood."
Tao took a step toward her.
"Taryn, don't," she ordered,
but the gray wolf had already seen the male approaching his mate and wasn't too pleased about it. With her jacket still in his mouth, he began to advance on Tao, who very smartly froze.
"Cujo," she sang. "Hey, remember me?"
The wolf's gaze darted from her to the carcass to Tao repeatedly. Clearly, he was torn on whether he wanted to continue playing with his new toy, go see his mate, or attack the male who dared to talk to her. Knowing she was about to make herself vulnerable to attack, but not sure what else to do, Taryn squatted and tapped the ground with her fingers.
"Come here. Come on."
He took one tentative step toward her, but then glanced back at his carcass.
"Seriously, you don't want to keep that? Come on!"
Again, she tapped the ground, knowing he could feel the vibrations through it. Flicking a disgruntled look at Tao, the wolf slowly took a few steps toward her before halting to whine at the carcass.
"No, we'll get you another toy. Get your furry ass over here."
Still at a sluggish pace, he covered those last remaining steps between them and dropped the jacket at her feet.
"Hey there."
The wolf rubbed his cheek along hers and buried his nose behind her ear to inhale her scent. Then he took to happily licking along her jaw.
"Ew."
She now considered it a good thing that the foam and blood from his mouth had transferred to her jacket, rather the jacket than her face. She winced when she saw that he was injured in several places. It was nothing fatal or even anything that would cause him much pain, but the healer in her wanted it fixed. Allowing the wolf to continue rubbing himself against her, she turned her head toward the mass of wolves that Roscoe had brought along, all of whom were still waiting. Not even one of them appeared to have moved a muscle. Keeping her tone light so as not to startle the animal, she asked,
"So, which one of you considers yourself alpha now? Because I'm pretty sure you all had this sorted out before you got here."
They gave her, "I'm not sure what you mean," looks.
"Come on, don't play dumb. Not one of you looks even the slightest bit bothered that your alpha is dead. I really don't care one way or another how you feel about it. I just want to know who I should be talking to when I ask if we should be expecting retaliation over this."
The challenge was fought fairly, but it wouldn't be the first time that someone who was sour about a loss decided to take revenge. The three males at the front of the mass glanced at each other, and then the one in the center stepped forward, identifying himself as the alpha.
"There'll be no retaliation. We didn't agree with him coming here to try to separate mates, but he was set on having you."
"And you were following orders. Nothing wrong with that, just like there's nothing wrong with you not being prepared to die for an ill cause."
The wolf, apparently not liking that he didn't have her full attention, nipped her chin. She rubbed her cheek against his reassuringly, and then turned back to the new alpha.
"Now that Roscoe's gone and there's no animosity between the packs, I don't see a reason why there can't be an alliance."
The new alpha's expression was a mixture of shock and eagerness.
"An alliance would be acceptable," he said coolly,
seemingly trying to hide his excitement and look the composed Alpha. "We can't exactly discuss it properly now, for obvious reasons," she said, flicking a look at the Alpha male of her pack, who was still